In 2 Timothy 2:15, we are told to rightly divide the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. One of the subjects of the Bible about which there has been very widespread misunderstanding and very careless teaching is the subject of judgments. Most people refer to the general judgment or the great judgment day, but this, of course, is impossible because we're told in the 5th chapter of John that there are going to be two different resurrections. In John chapter 5, he says, marvel not at this, verse 28, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And in Revelation chapter 20, he tells us that there's 1,000 years difference in the time of these resurrections. He says, at the beginning of this, he saw the angel come with a key of the bottomless pit and take Satan and bind him for 1,000 years. And then he tells how that the Lord brought some who had not received the mark of the image nor his number, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and so on. Now there are 7 judgments. Let me go over you with them briefly. First of all, there's the judgment of sin in Christ at Calvary. But you say, Christ hadn't done any sin. That's very true. But because he took our place, he was judged by God as though he were the sinner. And in the 12th chapter of John, in predicting his death, and this was the last thing that he ever had to say to the people, before he was taken and put on the cross, his last public word to the world was given in the 12th chapter. And this is what he said about his own death. He said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And then again he said, now is the judgment of this world. Maybe you thought that the judgment is future, but the Bible teaches that this world has already been judged. Now, it's true the Lord Jesus did not come to judge. He says in the 3rd chapter of John that God would not send him into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yet, he says, now, at his crucifixion, now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. At Calvary, this world had its judgment. That's why he can say, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You and I have already had our trial. We're already condemned. And the reason for that is that when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross, this world received its condemnation. Now, I didn't say it was executed, but judgment was passed. The execution has been stayed. And thank God I'll never be executed. Not because I don't deserve it. I do deserve it. But because another has died in my place, and I have accepted that substitute. Now, in Hebrews 2, in verse 14, he says that Satan himself was judged at that time, because he says, through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death and deliver them who through all their lifetime were subject to bondage. The devil met his Waterloo at the cross. I don't know what he thought. I suppose he thought he was gaining the victory, for the devil doesn't know everything. He doesn't have God's omniscience. He was fighting against the Lord Jesus, and I suppose he thought when he finally saw him put to death that he had gained the victory. But his own death warrant was signed. So, one judgment has already taken place. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you have another kind of judgment. Here he tells us, as believers, that we should judge ourselves. Now, what does he mean by this? Well, self-judgment is a day-by-day exercise in the life of believers. We should judge ourselves for the things that are not right. It's not enough simply to confess our sins to the Lord, but we should judge the root of that thing. We should call it what it is. We should get into the presence of the Lord and examine ourselves in His presence. Now, he says this in connection with the Lord's Supper, and no Christian should ever come to the Lord's Supper without first having had some time alone with the Lord in self-examination. And he says if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So there's daily self-judgment of believers. Then we have another kind of judgment, and that is the Father's daily judgment of His children. Because he says right here in the same passage, verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord." Now the word chastening means child training. It's not punishment. It isn't even good English to say, "I believe we should punish our children." You don't believe anything of the kind. Nobody should punish his children. To punish means to make them pay a penalty. What you do is correct that child. You don't say, "Well, that dish cost me 50 cents, so I think you ought to have about 5 good whacks for it, 10 cents a whack. If the dish had cost a dollar, you get 10 whacks." You don't do anything like that. You're not trying to make the child pay for anything. It isn't a fine. It isn't a penalty. But it's correction. You may correct that child by speaking to him. There are others who we seem to have a little more success with if we put it in through the seat of their pants. However you do it, you need to correct your children. And as God's children, we need to be corrected. If you're really God's child, you can be sure that you'll have correction, because he says plainly in the 12th chapter of Hebrews that if you do not receive correction, then you're not a real child of God at all. So we have daily correction from God. Now this is the Father's judgment of His children. Simply the daily correction that makes us a little more like the Lord Jesus. Now that's all that ever happens to believers. We are not going to be judged, because he plainly tells us in Romans 8 and 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." I had my judgment at the cross. There's an old poem that says, "Death and judgment are behind me, grace and glory are before." And that's perfectly true. My sins were already judged at the cross. And now God, as my Father, is simply correcting me day by day to make me more like the Lord Jesus. But now in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we have another judgment. This we could call the reward seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. The word that's used here is the word used to describe the judge's stand whenever they have athletic events. It's not a matter of finding out whether anybody is saved or not. For the results of this judgment, in 1 Corinthians 3, are that certain ones shall be rewarded, and that others shall lose their reward. And he says, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." Not eternal life. Eternal life's a gift. That's already settled. But a reward. "And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Not of his soul," he hastens to add, "but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So the believer is going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Not to see whether we're saved or not. You won't even be there unless you're a true believer, unless you're really saved. But you'll be there to see what rewards the Lord can give you for faithful service for Him. Now that's four of the judgments spoken of in Scripture. You see, we've looked back 2,000 years to one, and we've looked ahead to the coming of the Lord for another. But now, when the Lord Jesus comes for his own, there will be another judgment, which is called in Jeremiah 30 and 7, the day of Jacob's trouble. This is the great tribulation. It's not for believers. The church will never pass through the great tribulation. But Israel still has this terrible day ahead, and there are many Old Testament prophecies about it. Then there's the judgment of the nations, and this is what you have in the 24th chapter of Matthew. And he's not talking about the great white throne, but he's talking about the time at the close of the great tribulation when he shall call the nations into account. And then last of all, in the 20th of the Revelation, you have the judgment of the wicked dead, and this is called the great white throne judgment. We're even told in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2 and 3, that believers are going to sit on that judgment throne with the Lord Jesus in judgment of this world. So you see, it can't be our judgment. We'll be there as co-judges with the Lord and not to be judged. But these are the dead, he says in Revelation 20 and 12, the dead, small and great, stand before God. That is, not only those who are dead in their bodies, but dead in their spirits. Dead to God, who have never received eternal life. And they, we're told, are cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Thank God for judgment past, because the Lord Jesus bore it in our place. Let's thank him. Lord Jesus, we do thank thee that thou hast loved us so much as to bear our sins in thy own body on the tree. Help those who have listened just now to receive thee, and all of us who have trusted thee to live to please thee. We pray in the precious name of our Savior. Amen.